We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in fourth and final quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. And we do what we usually do here, which is ask Greg. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. I'll be firing your questions for our very own Greg Pickle through the Keystone Sports app. There's an Ask Greg button there. That's the best way to fire off a question, have Greg answer it. All Penn State football and recruiting, Big Ten, national, asking about how bad his first week of betting was on college football. It's all fair game, and I just opened up the doorway there for you to ask Greg about that. Segment brought to you, as always, by tailgatewine.com, where they have some awesome wines available for sale. An 1855 Dow Sapphire Blue, a blueberry wine, Old Main Pinot Grigio. You can get them at every Penn State home game. You can also get them at tailgatewine.com. Greg here will be picking the best question of the day, and you will get a bottle of tailgate wine. So how's that for you? If that doesn't encourage you to ask a question, I don't know what's going to. Let's start with a couple of questions that have come in more recently, Greg. Lou asking a question that I think is on a lot of people's minds, myself included. Can you explain why Penn State had such a difficult time defending the screen pass and bubble screen? The Penn State defense didn't seem to have an answer to that play. Thanks.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it was mostly just execution. I don't think that, you know, Penn State obviously didn't come into this game and say, well, we're not going to defend that. Or they didn't go through camp and say, well, we're never going to look at a bubble screen or any kind of screen, a slip screen, whatever, and try to defend it. I mean, that's just not how they operate. So I do think that it Penn State needs to work on it, no question about that. But I really think it just comes down to execution and the fact that their players were in position to make plays at times and did not execute, and that led to huge Ohio State gains or in some instances touchdowns.
I think execution was public enemy number one on those plays. I also felt like, and I said this before, that Penn State's coaching staff made a decision that they just weren't going to let Dwayne Haskins be comfortable in the pocket. For better or worse, they were going to bring pressure, and they did. And a lot of times Ohio State just made a nice adjustment in the second half and threw right where that pressure was coming from. Welcome the pressure on some of those screen plays. So in some respects, Penn State's strategy, which did not really change much from quarter one to quarter four. Uh-huh. And you can nitpick that. I personally think that if you're, you know, the state of Penn State's pass rush, if you're only sending four guys after Dwayne Haskins and you're dropping everybody into coverage or whatever, there was an equal chance for Dwayne Haskins to sit back there and end up picking you apart if you didn't get to him. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, your talented football players need to make tackles.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to more often than not. I mean, I know it's easy to sit here and blame the coaches, and, you know, nobody wants to pile on guys that are playing for simply an education. But, you know, I do think it's true at the same time that at some point, you know, you're getting all these five-star recruits, you're getting these big names and all that, and they are meant to go out there and make plays and execute in big moments. And sometimes that happens, sometimes it does not.
Part of it does go back to coaching in the respect that this was the number one adjustment Ohio State made at the half. And Penn State, whether by choice or by inability, didn't adjust back to it. And so in that respect, you know, but there was quite a few of those successful plays where Penn State had guys in position and they just didn't make the play.
Agreed.
Mike from Lake Winola says, Greg, I'm sure you got a ton of mailbag and Twitter comments calling for Franklin and Ronnie's heads after that one. But I was reading a ton of the comments on Twitter, and it was evident how terribly spoiled some of the fan base has become, and it truly makes me sad. Yeah, the loss was heartbreaking, but we're just 5 years removed from a time when we weren't even sure if we would have winning seasons this decade. I hope it's a small but apparently loud faction of the fan base that is treating the coaches and players with such disrespect. My question is, with your time at practices and interviewing coaches and players, how much of that non-productive noise gets to them? Do they know how the masses actually feel and how much we're proud? Thanks and keep up the good work. It's a fair and reason.
All right, you take a breather. That was a long one.
The three paragraph question.
Do we have any time
question
left in this segment?
Yeah, I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah, okay, you have a nice nap. Well, it's a hard question to answer because it goes back to the whole thing about, do they read their press clippings or not? Do they – this is a social media age, man. After a game, you can almost set your watch to guys starting to get out of the locker room and have their cell phones and start liking tweets about themselves. You know, they search their name and they look and see what people are saying. So they see it all, man. Good, bad, otherwise, they know what's out there. And I do think that, you know, they take it with a grain of salt. It is what it is. But do the people that reach them more so this week probably negative? Yeah, I would assume so. But there's also a lot of people on campus and stuff like in the football building that are making sure that they know what the positives are too. So I don't read a whole lot into that.
How much do you think James Franklin reads, or at least
he reads
at least, do you think he reads full articles, or do you think he's more looking at media behavior as something not that he can control, but as something that he can anticipate and maybe harp to his players or train his players better or understand the personalities that are out there and who's writing what just for his sake? He's such a control freak that I think he not wants to control the message, but really understand what the message is out there.
I think he does want to know what the message is because it not only shapes his message, but it also shapes the fact that I think he wants his players to know, okay, this is what people are saying about you. I have no doubt about the fact that the predictions that I and we, and I believe you are among that group, and everyone made to pick Ohio State. I'm sure that made it back to the players, and they were aware of the fact that everyone that closely covers this team is picking against them. Now, you know, was it a huge part of the motivational factor, if you will? I'm sure it maybe wasn't a large part, but it played a role because he knows what's out there for sure.
At the same time, there's zero evidence out there that suggested that Penn State would beat Ohio State, and they were the better team in that game. Would you agree? They were the better team.
Yeah.
They should have won that football game.
And they can't finish, and that's what it comes down to. That's why people pick Ohio State. There were a lot of people that were angry. There were a lot of people that were angry about the audacity to pick Ohio State to win that game and finish a game. If you want to be viewed as an elite team, finish a game. If you want to be picked as an elite team and you want to beat the best teams, finish a game. Because year after year, that's the same occurrence. Up 18 at Ohio State 2 years ago, couldn't finish a game. Up, 12 against Ohio State this year, couldn't finish a game.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be viewed as an elite program, if you want to win and go to the places you want to go to, finish the game.
Finish the game. What else? What do they need to do?
I'm going to have it tattooed on my forehead for next week. Finish the game.
You delivered a pretty ferocious knock on the table there.
Yeah.
Got a animated Greg this week. This is the Ask Greg on the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by tailgatewine.com, where Greg is giving away a bottle of wine. I mean, you're not giving it away.
More
or less you are. You're picking the best question as done through the Keystone Sports app, the Ask Greg button, a bottle of wine. Goes to the winning question. Let's go to John from Wisconsin, Muskego, Wisconsin. Does Coach James Franklin's emotional behavior post-game and at the news conference have an impact on recruiting? What are your thoughts on the key 19-20 recruits' impression of Penn State following the game? First of all, those comments are meant for recruits.
Right, exactly.
The recruits are hovering above James Franklin when he's talking. So that's not for you guys.
Right.
That's for them.
That's what I think. That's the biggest thing that maybe gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. The message is never for the media, and it's almost never for the fans. It's for the current team and for the recruits. Sometimes it's for the fans. A good example of a message for the fans is that Penn State will not run under center. They will not use a fullback. They will not do those things. That's a message for the fans.
Is that still the pinned tweet on your Twitter page?
Dear, sure, you bet it is. Okay. Yeah, that's one of those things. Yeah,
I haven't heard a word about it now.
No,
I
know.
Isn't it time to move on? Or there's still,
it's not time. It's
there's
never,
still a faction.
As long as there's a James Franklin radio show on Thursday night, it is never time to move on. It'll come up this week. I almost guarantee it. He'll be out recruiting, so we won't have to listen to it. But, those messages for the recruits, and it's for the players, and it sets a tone. So I don't think it has any impact at all. As for the guys that were there, yeah, it was a star-studded crowd. It was maybe the best crowd Penn State's ever had at a home football game of recruits.
Six of the top 25 class of 2020 – prospects in the 24/7 rankings were on the sidelines there, which is a phenomenal number. Mike from Shillington has a similar question. Penn State coming off a hard-fought loss in one of the best environments in college football. The game was attended by some of the biggest names in recruiting. I know that the outcome of the game won't ultimately make or break a recruit's decision, but how might the Penn State coaches use this game, even in a loss, on the recruiting trail going forward?
This is a great environment that you saw tonight that you were a part of, and if you come here, you might make the winning play that helps us beat Ohio State.
By the way, have you seen what Kirk Herbstreit, who's on College Game Day, who calls primetime ABC football games, have you seen what he said to say about it?
Yeah, well, I don't know why Penn State just goes, why do they go out and recruit? They can just send this tape of this to recruits and that'll just be fine. I mean, seriously, that's what the message will be.
Somebody even coaxed Desmond Howard into saying something positive about it.
Yeah, I heard a joke at a gas station on the way up to State College that Penn State, I know the guy was like, I don't even know why we're going to the game because Desmond Howard picked Penn State, so that means they're going to lose. And he turned out to be right.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, that's the one time that Desmond Howard picks Penn State.
Yeah.
But it's against Ohio State, so I guess it's kind of pick your poison if he's a Michigan man. So good question there. Kevin from Harrisburg. Real simple question. Will Penn State win the rest of their games?
Wow. Not much thought. Boy, my
opinion has changed of the Penn State Michigan dynamic.
So I had Penn State 9-3. I would update my season prediction if I was allowed to 11-1. I do think they win at Michigan, and that's the statement. They finished the game at Michigan. I think that will happen. We saw Michigan struggle against Northwestern. You know, the biggest concern I have about Michigan, the same one I have about Wisconsin, is they're going to ground and pound and try and run up the middle on you. And is that going to be too tough a task for the Penn State defense? By that time of the year, I don't think so. I am a little bit worried about defensive tackle depth. If you're flipping C.J. Thorpe over and he's playing on the game-winning drive, something's really,
really
wrong.
We've been talking for this long about Penn State football this week. This is the first we brought up C.J. Thorpe.
Yeah.
Well, in there. That's a temporary measure.
You would think.
For some reason. Even though we didn't see P.J. Mustafer or...
Someone suggested that P.J. Mustafer didn't play because he's being redshirted, and that would be the worst decision that Penn State's ever made. God. I mean, that guy's not staying here 5 years. He's an NFL talent.
Yeah.
So, give me a break.
Pound the table again, Greg. Who's got the best question?
Yeah. 11-1 is my... the answer to Kevin's question, who is this week's winner? I love that question. Yes. 11-1 is my question. Or 11-1 is my answer, rather, to his question. I do think they win out. I do think that there's going to be a lot of Penn State fans upset when they don't make the college football playoff, but they'll make a very nice
bowl
game.
Who's getting a bottle of wine, Greg?
Kevin,
okay.
That was the question of the week.
So the tip moving forward, if you want some tailgate wine from tailgatewine.com, make it short and to the point.
Yes.
The less you make Greg think, the more
the easier it is. I can remember your name because I can more quickly get on from your question.
This is notable for me, too, because I don't know if you know this, but Greg is my boss right now. Not in this room. I think I'm his boss here.
Yes, correct.
But in our everyday life, he's my boss. So there you go. Kevin from Harrisburg, you're getting a bottle of tailgate wine. Everybody else, keep firing questions. Keep joining us at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and by downloading the Keystone Sports app.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.